Hello, and welcome to the One Thing podcast, where we all get to usher in a new age of humanity. And if you're new to our podcast, welcome. And when we talk about this new age of humanity, we're talking about something called Homo Spiritus, which if you stick with us, you'll soon discover what we mean when we talk about that. And we're also just inviting each of us as human beings, part of a collective called humanity, to practice dancing with the one thing that individuals, communities, and countries have yet to try en masse. And we suspect that's important. So the last, let's see here, the one thing, that one thing, I missed my line here. That one thing is the connection to the higher self part of ourselves, which is actually our true self anatomy. It's a part of our anatomy that we don't actually get taught very well about. And people call it by all kinds of various different names. It's, you know, we can say spirit, we can say nature, we can say love. You pick whatever way you want to address that energy, but it's that energy that we are not disconnected from. And our prime directive as a human being, above all else, is to make and constantly return to this one thing connection day in and day out as our first step in dealing with any kind of a problem, rather than thinking about solving the problem on our own and separately from our connection to the source of all life. So in this episode, we'll offer ways to increase your access to higher love, wisdom, and power through this one thing connection.
Exactly. And where we want to start off with is just to acknowledge and make sure everyone recognizes that every philosophical, religious, and spiritual path speaks to this in their own particular ways. And what we're going to be going through is kind of the universal version of this, that you can plug this content into whatever your chosen discipline, path, philosophical, religious, or spiritual orientation you have.
Exactly. And, you know, for you, that might mean formal meditation. For another, it might mean sitting at the base of a tree. And we want to say that you don't actually need an intercessory between your heart and the heart of the source of all life. You know, we've grown up with houses of worship and meditation practices that encourage, you know, specific times of the day or week to connect with the one thing. But we're inviting you to consider that this connection is better nurtured breath by breath and moment by moment, rather than just, you know, going to church for a week or sitting for 10 minutes in meditation in the morning, if we're lucky. We're inviting you to consider, how can you weave this connection in all throughout your day so it feels natural and normal, because it is. And, you know, when we talk about Homo Spiritus, this is what we're saying. This is the human being that has direct access to the source of life and is living in constant and direct communion with, you know, the source of life. We are extensions of that life force. And when we're doing that, more of us, more often, we tip the scales in favor of good.
And I'll add a little bit about the notion of intercessors for those of our listeners who don't come from a path where that exists. So an intercessor in certain religious and spiritual traditions is a revered person or a person who is ordained, who is the intermediary between the everyday person and God or higher wisdom or whatever that religious or spiritual path refers to as that higher higher love and wisdom. And so traditionally, in, for example, Christianity, there was an intercessor. So you went to your priest or minister or pastor. Whatever that role was called in that particular denomination, in order to get forgiveness or in order to ensure that a prayer got answered or things along those lines.
Or confess that, a sin.
Yes, yeah. That's what an intercessor is, for those of you unfamiliar with that. And what Lori and I understand about the age of Homo Spiritus, the age that we're in, where we're evolving beyond the old notions of Homo sapiens, is that we humans are in training to live in a perpetual state of direct connection to love and wisdom. And that developing that state of direct connection to love and wisdom, being able to call upon it at will, is a muscle. It requires muscle building practice to stay constantly connected with higher love and wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. And it's okay if you find that hours or days have gone by where you're not connected. The idea, as David just said, is just to come back to connection, just whenever you notice that you are disconnected. And the thing about the higher wisdom and love is that it's embedded in the body. It's in the electrons of the masses of trillions of cells that we have. Most of us, especially in a Western culture, really like to live in our head. And we've talked about this before in other episodes, but there's nothing wrong with our head and our mind and our intellect, but we can't leave the body out. Being embodied is where we access this higher wisdom and this higher love. And in fact, in our heart, and this is true for every single human being, there is a spark of light in our heart. You know, our hearts are electric organs, right? They're very electric. And electrons that carry our spark of light is similar to the energies of the heart, if you will. And what else is thought, not thought, what else is considered in our heart is something called the triple flame. And this triple flame is a flame, we could say, but with slightly different qualities to them. And one of the qualities is love, and one of the qualities is wisdom, and the other quality is power or activity. And, you know, don't get too freaked out about the word power, because, you know, we're also brainwashed with abuse of power and abdication of power. And really what the power from the heart flame means is right action. So whether you know about this triple flame or not, it's just something to be introduced to, or to revisit, or to activate in yourself if it isn't something that's new. And live there, I guess is what I would say. Go there often and drop yourself into your body often. And, you know, it's thought that the fleur de lis, that's that symbol out of France. And if you're Francophiles like David and I, you might know this, but you could look it up, the fleur de lis. It's a lovely symbol. You'll recognize it once you see it, and it's everywhere. And that is
spelling is F-L-E-U-R. Yeah. Then the next word is de, D-E. And then lis is L-I-S.
That's right. And that is a symbol of the triple flame. So the history on that symbol and all of that is quite interesting. But for now, just know that that's something that you can visually look at and explore what the triple flame means. You can Google it and, you know, dive in as far as you want. But it lives in you. And we're asking you to ask your higher self to show you how to live in that place and to activate that flame.
Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to be going through with you in the heart of this episode is some very specific steps that we're recommending that you start practicing in the spirit of strengthening this muscle for accessing higher love and wisdom and divine power. And those steps that we're going to unpack bit by bit are spot, surrender, ask, and back check. So the spot step is about how to spot when you're accessing, when you're not accessing higher love, wisdom, and impact, power, action. And any time that we're in a state of fear, tension, stress, anxiety, worry, confusion, or arrogant know-it-allness, anytime we're in any of those types of states, those symptoms are meant to be cues from our higher wisdom that we're not accessing higher wisdom. So instead of getting wigged out when we're in any of those states, to simply get good at recognizing, oh, I'm in that state. I'm in a state of not connected with higher love, power, and wisdom. And so that's the first step, because if you can't spot, when I can't spot when I'm disconnected, I don't have a way of recognizing that there are steps that are important for me to take immediately before I continue doing whatever it is that I'm doing or saying whatever it is that I'm saying.
Right. And I would even amend a little bit that these feelings of tension, worry, stress, you know, these spot things are, they're actually not from our higher wisdom as much as they're from our own choice, our own usually choices that we make from our head. And because of the disconnection, you know, things, it's like putting your hand in a flame on a stove. It's not the stove that's, you know, the problem. It's the fact that you put your hand in the flame, and we learn quite fast early on that that's not the thing to do. So, but the messages of stress, fear, worry, anxiety, that is the message that we're disconnected from our source of life.
And for me, that message always feels like it comes from higher love. It's like, it's not that higher love is generating those feelings, but higher love is saying to me, look, you're feeling these feelings, you're out of connection.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't, I have it a different way, but it's all good. It doesn't matter, because we get there the same, we're going to get there.
And that's the important thing, is you and I are now articulating two different variations, and hopefully between these two variations, almost everyone who's listening will spot themselves in one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next step after spotting, and there's a split second when you know, in our mind and in our choice, I call it a choice point, where we, and this takes practice too. Like, this is the first thing to ask yourself to notice and practice. And sometimes you'll catch it and sometimes you won't. It's like, oh, I feel stress, or, oh, I, and then in that split second, we have take a breath, take a pause, and surrender the way you think the thing that's happening, me, what it means to you, right? Give it over to your high, say, you know, even say things. This is what I do. I'll say things to my higher self, like, oh, here's a spot where I'm really, you know, all tied up around this thing. You know, can you help me see this in a, through the eyes of love, really see, help me see it the way you see it. And if I'm really in a really twisted place, I don't always want to ask to see it through the eyes of love, because that feels like a little bit too far of a reach, but I ask to see my next step in the direction of moving towards love. And that, you know, that in the Course in Miracles, if you're familiar at all with that pathway, I suppose you could call it, is asking the Holy Spirit to show you what's true about this moment, this situation.
Right. And I'll piggyback directly on that, because my way of surrendering, my way of seeing, is actually very tied to, in its wording, to a section in the text of A Course in Miracles that, if you're familiar with it, you'll spot it at toward the beginning of chapter 30 of the text, which is, I don't like how I feel. That simple. I don't like how I feel. Therefore, I'm not seeing through the eyes of higher love and wisdom right now in this moment. And for me, when I am able to spot that I'm feeling out of sorts, and when I'm able to surrender my way of seeing by acknowledging that I don't like how I feel, and that means that I'm out of connection, that automatically opens me up into surrendering, into being receptive to another way. And so what that does then is that it leads us into the third step, which is to, when we're ready, and Lori is exactly right in saying that sometimes I'm far enough away from higher love and wisdom that I've got to take little steps back to opening up. When I'm ready, though, the next step is asking how higher love and wisdom sees whatever the situation is, whether it's an internal state or an external circumstance or what another person or whatever it is, a political situation, a societal situation, doesn't matter. But to ask how higher love and wisdom sees this instead of my disconnected way of seeing it. And I have one very simple way of asking, and I have one slightly more that has a couple steps to it, but it's also pretty simple. My favorite request for help is a four-letter word. Help. H-E-L-P. Very simple. And when I utter that internally, it's my way of acknowledging that I'm ready to ask how higher love and wisdom sees that situation. The other method that I use is Ho'oponopono. For those of you who are unfamiliar with that, it's a very specific four-step process from Huna tradition, the Hawaiian indigenous tradition, which is basically about acknowledging that I must be seeing in unhelpful ways, and where I forgive myself for having for not seeing in helpful ways, and I open up to seeing differently, and then I step into gratitude for seeing through the eyes of love and wisdom again. And this episode, we're not doing a training in Ho'oponopono. So I'm simply describing what's accomplished in the four steps of Ho'oponopono. And I'm going to spell that for those of you who aren't familiar with it so that you can look it up if you want to. And then maybe you'll want to say more, Lori, or just go into your way. But the way that Ho'oponopono is spelled is Ho'oponopono, P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O.
Yeah, that is a good one, Ho'oponopono. There's some interesting stories about how the speaking of those words, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, are how they change energy. And that's true of even chanting. So I have a little bit of a toolkit that I draw on depending on what I need. I do find chanting to be incredibly energy transforming. There's chants that will break up hard energy that I might be carrying. And then there's also chants that just sort of more softly keep me in a connected space. But it always involves this asking, it always involves me checking in with my higher self, my higher presence. And sometimes I'll explain the situation out loud if it isn't too, disturbing to anyone else, maybe even in a written form, and then asking for guidance or help or, to be shown what's true and what's right about the situation. The smaller the situations, the quicker it goes, the larger and more, impactful the situations, the more time that I tend to take. I also do creative process around some of those larger ones because I find that to be a direct connection to higher presence and to solutions and getting past the subconscious mind and accessing aspects of myself that I can't do in any other way.
Mm-hmm. And I also use writing, especially if my simpler methods don't kind of click me out of that distressed state. And
right.
Very often when I'm writing from my self-righteousness, I will write in my dominant hand, which in my case, being left-handed, is my left hand. And then when I am opening to higher love and wisdom, I will switch and write with my non-dominant hand, which in my case is my right hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are just some suggestions. You can take what resonates, leave what doesn't. And then when we want to back check with our higher guidance, I always feel that in my body. So when there's a problem, when I'm seeing something not according to love, or if I'm stuck or disconnected, I feel it as a tension in my gut area, just below my heart center, solar plexus to be exact. And then when I ask and when I, request guidance and wisdom to show me, I always know when it's the right thing, even if it's just the one next step, is when I feel a sort of an opening or relaxation in that gut area. I trust that implicitly because over the years when I've gone against it, I've learned that I should have not done that. And that when I go with it, when I go with a lightness, I call it light or tight. So either it's really tight and that's not the choice I'd want to make, or it's really light and that is the choice I'd want to make. And it has always been nothing less than very well-serving. So.
Mm-hmm. And in back-checking, if you take nothing more from this section than what Lori just said, it's more than enough, in my opinion, because that the body doesn't lie. That
the
felt
body
sense,
doesn't lie.
The wisdom in the body is huge.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is just add on some optional kind of sort of cognitive things, thinking oriented things, but the answers to the questions that I'm going to put out really are ones that my body says, yeah, that clicks, that I have a felt sense shift, or I don't, where mm-hmm. my body says, no, that's not quite it. So the two questions that I ask myself are about higher love and wisdom are, first of all, is this guidance that seems to be higher guidance, is it more loving than me? And the second is this guidance wiser than me? And I use this all of the time when I'm writing books and things like that. If what is coming off of my fingertips when I'm writing is not smarter than I am, it's not more loving than I am, it's not wiser than I am, I delete. I toss it in the trash. If it's not more loving and wiser than me, it's not worth communicating in a book, right? When I'm in author mode. So those are two questions that I ask about higher love and wisdom. And the questions that I ask myself about higher power, the divine power, love and wisdom-based impact and action is really about what do I do with the guidance that I've gotten? And again, my body is the arbiter of that, but I ask the question, is this guidance for me to know but not share? Is it for me to know so I can be more helpful, but not necessarily to put it into words to someone else? Or is it for me to share? And if it's for me to share, if I get the body check, the body felt sense that says, oh yes, this is for me to share, then my follow-up question is the time to do that sharing now or later?
Right. So That's great. Yeah, those are good questions. And then if you want to double check, you know, because you might get a very clear felt sense in your body, but then of course the mind will want to jump in and say, well, yeah, but are you sure that what, you know, and have all kinds of reasons why it should be listened to more than the wisdom in the trillions of cells in our body, which add up to be quite profound. Then you can just take a step in the direction that you think you're being guided in. And you know, you'll know early on if that was the right step or not, you know, or maybe you're not sure, maybe you can't get a clear read on your guidance, then just take that step in the direction that you think is the best step for you to take. And our guidance often drops itself in when we're actually in the action, when we're in the step taking action part of it. I think that guidance works in tandem with action. And I think that human minds want everything to be laid out in this beautiful, you know, mapped out, colorful way. And that's not my experience that we get it that way. I get usually a next step, maybe a little inkling of the step beyond that, but usually it's just the next step. So being in action is what activates the guidance oftentimes. And so you just want to avoid that trap of, you know, staying stuck and not taking any steps or not moving toward anything because you're waiting for some magical, you know, thing that drops into you and gives you a perfectly safe way of taking that step. That's not usually how it works in my experience. Things aren't perfect for us to be able to make our move. They're just enough. And then we have to make our move.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And before I say a couple of other methods for this, I realize I want to share briefly part of why this whole notion of back-checking guidance is so important to me. This got really driven home to me decades ago when I first started working with, assisting, mentoring people with incredible psychic or intuitive gifts, and where the people that I was assisting were not realizing that when they would get the download, if you will, of intuitive information, that they were interpreting or sifting that information through their own preconceptions. And then what came out of their mouths was actually a distortion of the guidance without them knowing it. And what I discovered, what I found in working with those folks, was that the missing piece for them that made all the difference in the world in being able to really maximize the helpfulness of their gifts was this practice of back-checking, of double-checking the answers to make sure that they weren't superimposing their own preconceptions on top of the guidance itself. So I just wanted to add that context. And so in addition, if you happen to be familiar with an approach called focusing, it's a specific name of a specific method developed by Eugene Gendlin, G-E-N-D-L-I-N, the late Gene Gendlin. If you have exposure to focusing or you're trained in focusing, then look for the presence or absence of what in focusing is called the felt sense shift. Because when we get information inside ourselves, if we pay attention to our bodily felt sense, the way that Lori's talking about, we're going to notice that our body reacts in one of three ways if our body reacted in words, but it's actually a bodily felt sense. But the verbalization of that, if I put it into language, the body either reacts with a shift that says, oh yes, that's on target, that fits, that's it, right? Or our body reacts with a sense of, it's in the right ballpark, it's in the right direction, but it's not yet a full bullseye. Or our body reacts with a sense of, yeah, nice tray, no cigar. That's not it. And so if you have a background in focusing, be looking for the quality of that felt sense. Is it on target? Is it in the right ballpark, but not quite it yet? Or was it, did it sound good on paper, but it's not really true and useful?
Okay. Yeah. And if I could insert one thing, a lot of times when people first start doing this kind of thing, especially with the this relationship with the body's wisdom, it's a little scary. So I would just recommend that you start with things that don't have high consequences, right? Like, what color shirt are you going to wear today? You know, that kind of thing, because it'll teach you those more simple requests of the wisdom of your body, you know, like what's the best lunch to prepare, you know, that wisdom will teach you these feelings, these bullseye, not quite bullseye. No, you're not, you're cold, you're not warm, that kind of thing. And then you'll learn your own system. And that's invaluable to have, especially if you are willing to build it up over the rest of your life.
I'm so glad that you added that. That's so important.
Yeah.
And then the other method that I want to make sure that those of you who are familiar with it know that you can use it to do this kind of back checking as well, is if you are trained in self-muscle testing, kinesiological testing. If you don't know what muscle testing is, don't worry about it. But if that's something that you have a background in, then if you're accomplished with self-muscle testing, use that to back check the accuracy of what seems to be higher guidance. If you're uncertain, if you don't get a good read from your body, or if you have a read from your body and you're going, oh, can I really trust this or not? If you have good training in self-muscle testing, use that as a back checking method too.
Yeah, good idea. And you can also use a pendulum if you have any experience with a pendulum. It's the same general idea. It's the summoning of your higher presence light to give you information by way of a yes or no, either through a muscle test or a pendulum, which is often crystalline in nature, and it can, you know, channel that kind of energy. But the key is you know, I've heard for years, you can't really do it wrong, right? So the only reason, you just have to make a move, you know, as they say, bust a move.
Right.
If you bust a move and you feel really tense and knotted and tight about it, that's probably not the right move. So think about the other next best move to bust. and just feel your way, like you're kind of walking through a room a little bit without much light, and do your best. And then usually there's I just hit a dresser. Let me, you know, adjust my trajectory here. And it's the same thing with following guidance.
Exactly. And just to underline that, when in doubt, do something.
Yes. Don't be stuck. That's torture. That is the epitome of suffering.
And when you do the doing something, pay attention
right
to the impacts so that you complete the feedback loop. That's the fastest way and the most dependable way that I've ever had for developing my relationship with my intuition and my trust of my intuition and my ability to distinguish or discern between what wants to masquerade as my intuition and what's actually my ego versus right. my actual intuition.
Exactly.
Yeah. So ready to move into takeaways?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the first takeaway is, develop your way of spotting when you're not accessing higher love, wisdom, or divine power, and use those ways that you have of spotting that. Use them to practice spotting more and more and more of the time, so that that ability to spot, that little early alarm system inside yourself, becomes second nature as a result of practice over time.
Right, exactly. And you can also, you know, take note of phrases that work for you. So, I mean, we're all going to have our personal ones, but things like, if something shows itself and it's in your face, and this is something that you know needs to be you know, your higher self needs to be included in, then you can say things like, I offer this up to my higher wisdom, or I surrender this. You know, that's what the meaning of obey means in the earlier texts of mostly, well, I don't know if it's in all the pathways, but I used to have such a problem with that word until I figured out, oh, that just means surrender. It means offer this thing that I'm all wound up about and need help around. And those are the ways I say it now. And yield. I like the word yield too, because that's just doesn't have a lot of triggers to it. You know, if you're driving on the freeway and a car asserts itself to pull out in front of you, most of us yield rather than crash into the car, right? So it's a similar idea. I'm going to yield to my higher wisdom on this thing, not only because it's in my highest good, but because I'm asking.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. And the third takeaway is develop your phrases for asking for higher help and practice using them more of the time. Whatever that is for you. Again, we gave you hopefully a lot of ideas of possibilities for each of these steps during this episode. We want to encourage you to discover your phrases for asking for higher help. And once you've landed on what really fits for you, practice using those more and more and more and more of the time until that becomes automatic for you as well.
Exactly. This is the idea of building the muscle, right? And practicing to build the muscle. Yeah. And then also practice your back checking things. And if you don't like, you know, muscle testing or pendulum or any, don't use anything you don't like, but if you're attracted to something, or maybe you'll learn, and maybe you're an inquiry with your higher self. Can you show me how to best make sure that I'm hearing you clearly, right? Like that could be a beautiful inquiry to live in for as long as necessary until you got clarity around that between yourself and your higher presence, your higher self, your source of life.
Exactly. But the key, I was just going to add that, that again, in the spirit of, we want you to discover what works for you. We're just offering you a buffet of possibilities.
Right. Someplace to start, at least.
Yeah. 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 And we're saying to you that part of accessing higher love and wisdom is you discovering what actually works for you, rather than looking to an intercessory to decide that for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Training wheels, if you will, but you will learn how to ride your own bike, because that's your design. That's all of our designs.
Yeah. Super. So I think that leaves us with a little teaser about what we're going to focus on in our next episode.
Yeah.
Which is mental, emotional self-governance. So this is about taking governance and shifting it inwardly, because if we aren't in self-sovereignty, it's going to be really hard to be sovereign in our ways of making a difference out in the world. So next episode is on mental, emotional self-governance. And with that, until next time, remember to dance with your better half, the one thing, so you can keep living more and more fully as Homo Spiritus.